you mentioned, this is interesting, the family, and how you don't have cousins, it's brothers and sisters. You all come together, say, for a big dinner. And I think, Barbara, you mentioned last time I was here about how sister-in-law, father-in-law don't address each other. Tell us about that.
Well, it's what I call the in-law taboo. The daughters-in-law don't speak to the father-in-law. The son-in-law does not speak to the mother-in-law. The reason why we do that is very simple. It's all to keep peace in the family, and it's a highest form of respect. In my family, to this day, we still practice it, and there's a lot of Plains tribes that do practice it. I have two sisters that are still married, and when I had a husband, we'd have to place my mother in a position where they couldn't lay eyes on one another. At a family dinner, she would address them as son-in-law in Indian, Witande, does Witande want some meat? I would turn to him and say, do you want meat? He would answer yes or no, and I'd turn back to her and say, yes, he does or no, even though they can hear each other, but they can never look at one another or speak to one another.
It's a big no-no.
So no matter what happens in our relationship, they will always have that respect for one another.
And that goes on today?
Yes.
Yeah, I couldn't talk to my father-in-laws.
You never did talk to him?
Mm-mm, never.
Well, I guess it eliminates some problems, some infighting.
Huh? Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah, there's never a harsh word spoken between in-laws,
yeah,
ever,
true.
In our way.
Families must have tremendous respect for elders.
They do. They sure don't have respect for me now.
I'm sure they do. But isn't that a big part of your traditions, that the elders are to be well respected?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, there's a hierarchy of the way our people are established. Elders are the most respected of all of the people that we have. Like at our powwows, even today, when we have a feast, the elders just stay seated. We take the food to them. The rest of us have to get in line and go through and get our own food. In the same respect, we have this order to things, and elders are served, but also the men eat first. Women eat next. Or visitors, depending on what the situation is, and the children eat last. Where I notice in today's society, it's always like the women and children that eat first, and then what's left goes to the people that are supposed to be the breadwinners.
Yeah,
and in our culture, originally, it was the men went out hunting, so they needed to eat and keep up their strength and get the best pieces of the meat.
Cynthia, they even bring food to you,
yeah,
too, don't they?
Yeah, they do. No, I have to get my own food.
Oh, no, you don't.
No, they have a lot of respect for me.
Cynthia, and then Barbara, of course, what about handing on the traditions to young people of the tribe? Are they anxious to learn about this, or does it not mean anything to them at first when they're young?
No, it doesn't mean a thing to them. But as they grow older, of course, they pick it up as we teach them. Well, I was told so many times, no, you don't do that. No, you know. But anyway, that's the way I learned. And that's what I passed on to the children.
And Barbara, maybe you can talk about that. How many children did you have?
I have two.
Talk to us about when they were early ages and did they kind of reject and they didn't care and then they finally came around. Kind of talk to us about that.
First of all, I want to say I was raised very traditionally. I spent most of my childhood with my grandparents. Because in our tradition, the oldest grandchild is supposed to go live with the grandparents. For some reason, my folks didn't want to send my older sisters, so I was the one that got to spend most of my time in White Eagle with my grandparents. In the same respect, when my older son was born, he spent most of his time with my mother. So what they did together, I'm not sure, but the purpose is for him to absorb most of the culture, just like I did, firsthand from the grandparents.
So when you said you go live, how long?
Till I started school.
Oh, from a year or two? Or?
Uh-huh. Yes,
until,
from very young.
Until 5 or 6 years old?
Yes.
You actually lived with them?
Yes.
The purpose of that was?
I would be immersed in the culture. And I would remember more, to this day, I probably remember more about things than certainly my sisters. Because I learned so much firsthand, and because I've always been what we call in the circle, I've always been participating in the dance. I have been a princess. I've been a dancer. I've won a lot of contests for doing my Indian dance and things like that. And so I always was a part of the circle. When my boys were growing up, we always took them to Ponca. They knew all about everything. They were shown the ways of our tribe early on, from walking on up. When my older boy was about 12, and I put them both in the circle at the same time, had straight dance clothes made for them. You place them in the circle, you introduce them to the tribe so that the tribe accepts them as a part of us, even though they're enrolled Wichita. But they were raised Ponca. Then they get older, teenagers, and they go to schools where there's not very many Indian kids, and they learn a different way of living. They turned their backs on their Indian culture, I would say. My children did, for the most part, for a long time. And now I'm very proud to say that my son's had a reawakening, and he's back to embracing our culture. He surprises me all the time because he remembers things that I didn't think he ever caught on to, but it's all coming to the top again. So his Indianness never left him. I just couldn't see it for a while.
That could probably be said for many other of the younger generation, that eventually they do come back.
Yes. If you plant the seeds, they'll be back.
Let me tell you something. When Barbara first learned to dance, she got up and she got up and danced. Well, a whole slew of them got behind her to help her dance. Tradition is, her first time dancing, I had to put out some blankets on the ground. There were six of them.
Pendleton blankets.
They donate those, and she stepped over them. So me and the helpers, boys, men folks, I guess you call them, have to pick them up as fast as we could because she had a whole slew of them behind her dancing with her. We didn't want them to dance on those blankets. They're pretty blankets.
Absolutely.
Too.
So was Barbara a good dancer?
Yeah, very good. How many trophies do you have?
I don't know.
Trophies.
She must have.
I mean, they're this tall, taller.
She was a pretty young lady, wasn't she?
Very. Just like her mom.
That's what I was leading to.
Oh, that's bragging.
And you were too. You said bragging. Is there a humility that's taught more so maybe among your people than others or not?
I would say that we're taught not to brag.
Yeah.
You don't put yourself out in front as
right.
being better than anybody. In our competition, we prefer everybody to come in at the same time in a foot race, you know, thinking of it like that. It's not to put anyone down, ever, or to make yourself better than anyone, because we're all a part of the same tribe.